the gift of witchcraft.
I was able to see, hear, and communicate with spirits.
A very personal relationship between a person and spirit.
Carnal lust and fun things like that.
Working with different energies and spirits and communicating.
Creating magic.
Powerful ritual and powerful spells.
She's actually sending me in the cauldron.
The role of the witch is to make change.
Bless it be, yo.
Bless it be.
People ask me, like, okay, I'm a witch and I don't know what to do.
20 years ago, three young friends realized they were witches. They scattered to different parts of the world, following magic and spirit. Now, they're back in their hometown to share what they've learned.
Welcome to That Witch Life Podcast, your home for living as a witch in today's world.
Hello, witches. Welcome to That Witch Life Podcast. I'm Hillary. I'm your host today. I'm joined by Kanani and Courtney.
Hey.
Hello.
We have all had, I'm sure, like, actually, it's been a while since we've recorded, so it's good to be back together, and we have some fun updates on our own and about what we've been going on. We also have a really amazing guest today, Naja Lightfoot. She has an amazing book out there called Good Juju, Mojo Rites and Practices for the Magical Soul, which I had the pleasure of reading. It's a really cool
and
book.
I'm borrowing it as soon as you're done.
Get it. Like, no, it's all right. I already purchased it for my Kindle as well.
Okay, because so, like, you knew in case it left in my bag.
Well, I knew that it was going to be leaving in your bag, and I thought it was such a good resource. It's actually kind of cool. You know, it really starts from kind of all the way from establishing a spiritual practice all the way up to more advanced techniques. And I thought it was kind of a nice refresher. It's been a while since I looked at my practice from zero, like from establishing it up. And I was like, wow, I wish I had some of these tips when I was starting out, like completely clueless.
Well, because the three of us are terrible witches. We can just use them now.
Exactly.
Because
it's
not too late.
I know.
It's not too late to become a good witch and stop sucking at witchcraft.
There's some really good spells in there. I was like, wow, this is a really good book. So I'm excited. We're excited to welcome her on later.
My magic is how the book is going to end up in my bag after it was in your bag.
Oh my God.
That's
so what listeners don't understand is some of the things that go on when you have three very greedy witches running one podcast. And we're learning that when the publishers send us books, they send us one copy, which is the right thing to do. Except that then the three of us tear the book apart because we don't share.
We don't share.
And Kanani's the worst. And she has literally for years stolen shit in front of my face when she comes to my house, like the love potion I made.
But to be fair, I do it in front of you and I go, ha ha ha, when I'm taking it.
Oh,
so you know that I'm taking
it. So like 15 years ago. Well, I made this love potion. My friend Isabel and I made it. We called it Love Potion to the Ninth Power instead of Love Potion Number 9 because loser weirdos. Anyway, Kanani at the time was looking, you just got divorced, you're looking to meet someone, and you saw her this love potion, and I said, well, I just have one bottle left. She goes, okay, good. And she just took it and walked away with it.
I don't remember this, but it was 100% sounds like something I would
do. Remember this?
I have no memory.
It was a little blue bottle that I made with nails. You don't remember this?
I have no memory.
You had it on your altar for 10 years till I took it back. Don't you remember that little tiny blue bottle?
Oh, I do remember the little tiny bottle.
That was a love potion, and she just took it. She's
like,
well, I need
it. Sounds like something I would do, absolutely.
Yeah, and I was like, wait a minute. You're like, I'm taking this. I'm taking this right now. And so she left with it. So anyway, if you see Kanani at a conference, watch your shit. She won't steal your money. She won't steal your man. She's going to steal your books and your potions, though. But she'll let you know. So
I know. The minute I was like, I
just need to wear a shirt that says, Kanani does not play well with others.
She doesn't play well with
others. I do not play well with
others. Did you get that a lot from school growing up? Did your teacher say does not play well? You probably were the...
No, I was the teacher. I was the teacher's pet. I always had really good marks.
Now, see, Hillary and I were the opposite. We played too well together, and we were always in trouble.
We were
because
always
we wouldn't shut the fuck up.
I know. So, like, the minute I was about halfway through this book, and I was like, I'm purchasing this for myself because I knew. I was like, this bitch is going to come and take it back, and I don't want to give it back.
100%. I should take it back first because it came to my house. In fact, okay, as soon as this is over, it's going in my bag. Whatever.
That's okay. I'll be in your car, and your bag will be in the car.
Oh,
so we'll see how that
ends. That's what you think. This is not going well.
I know.
Everything is breaking down. This will be the last time we ever record.
Yeah,
hope you guys have enjoyed our podcast.
Have a nice
We're never
life,
speaking
everybody.
To each other again.
That's not true because we've been doing this for 30 years. So.
That's true. We've been dicks to each other
for a very long time.
It's expected at this point. It's not upsetting.
Kanani, I don't think I ever told you this. Hillary and I became friends during a glitter fight in high school.
It's
That's
true.
How we became friends is that she was attacking me with glitter. Yeah. And so everybody else ran away and said, this bitch is going down. You know, and I went back. I had glitter on my scalp for months.
That makes me so happy.
Oh, yeah. I have a history of glittering people.
But you, cut your finger on the bottle.
Oh, I did. Yeah, it broke in my hands.
That's commitment.
And I was like, fuck. And it sliced open my finger pretty bad, actually.
I mean, you didn't stop her, though.
Glitter slash blood flat.
Exactly. Blood, so there was glitter and blood.
That was my intro into blood ritual right there.
In the halls of Valley Catholic High School.
Valley Catholic High School.
I was throwing glitter and blood at people.
So that's awesome, because your guys' relationship started over glitter and ours started over cupcakes. So
cupcakes?
It
yeah.
sounds you really like
no
super oh funny God. And feminine, even though I would not describe any of us.
Okay, so here's what happened. So Kanani and I, we went to Five Oaks Middle School, which was the worst place on earth. And in the cafeteria, there were these long, long tables where the kids had lunch. And I would sit with a group of girls that sat at the end of the tables. And Kanani was part of a group of girls that sat one table in on this long bench of tables. And never the two shall meet. And my friends didn't like Kanani because they said Kanani liked herself too much.
It's true. Oh,
then they said she thinks she's hot shit. And Kanani was like,
but I
am hot shit.
And so, you know.
But one of the girls at my table group had a birthday. And so I brought in cupcakes. And Kanani decided that was the day she was going to be friends with me. Now, she wasn't super nice. She was just more like, I'm going to enter your world. So she looks up, she goes, hey, does your friend so-and-so like anyone? I looked at her and go, if she did, I wouldn't tell you, because she was friends with the guy that my friend liked. And so she knew
God,
this was
this
going
just
on.
Sounds like middle school.
And so, but after that, then Kanani was like, we're friends now. And I went, are we? And she's like, yep. And she didn't get a cupcake that day, but you got a cupcake.
I was pissed about that. But you've given me cupcakes every year since then, so I still think I
made win. Last time I made them with salted caramel centers because I am a really good friend.
But so anyways, yes. Yeah. So in the end, it all worked out really well for me because I continue to get the cupcakes.
Hillary doesn't eat sugar anymore, so she's looking at me like, what are you going to do for me?
I sometimes eat sugar.
But you don't eat sugar the way Kanani eats. Oh, no. Kanani basically eats sugar.
I had cookies the other night from, there's this food cart here called We Are Baked. Which
course,
is amazing.
In Portland, yes, of course.
But they literally are bake it and send it to you piping hot.
Oh,
so it arrives to you.
God, that's
we got
such a good
we got
thing I don't
a
live in a
s'mores
city.
One with a melted charred marshmallow in the center.
Fucking hell.
There was a Lucky Charms one, a Trix one, a peanut butter one, and a what was the other one? Oatmeal chocolate
that
chip.
That is amazing.
Oh my God, they were so good.
Remember
so
when
we're
going
to... Hold on, we're going to talk about food cart names.
Now that we're
I was at an event in Hillsboro, and there was a food cart, and it was called the Dirty Wiener. I'm just saying. I wasn't hungry for a hot dog, but I almost got one because I just wanted to say that I bought something from the
Dirty
Wiener.
Yeah.
That's who I am.
I feel like that could be a great marketing plan or a terrible... You're going to get a cult following. I mean, it's a good...
Yes. I'd be honest. I'm not going to eat something. I'm not eating a Dirty Wiener. No.
Oh, 100% I would. 100%.
I know you would. Go ahead.
100%. Courtney Weber, I'm not eating a Dirty Wiener.
That's Kanani. I will. That's Kanani, how it works.
I'm all about Dirty Wieners.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised because this was a big family event.
That's really funny.
And personally, I probably wouldn't have chosen that particular cart for a large family event, but I found it hilarious,
yeah,
as I'm sure other people did. So,
yeah.
Anyways, that's my food cart portion.
I could
have an entire podcast on Portland.
What else has anyone been up to? Courtney, you've been out of town a bit.
Oh my God. This whole
summer
has been.
You were back working. You've been doing everything.
My carbon footprint is a Dirty Wiener right now. it's disgusting. And I shouldn't be even admitting to it. But no, I've been all over the country. I initiated a priestess in my tradition earlier this summer.
That's awesome.
Which was just wonderful. This young woman is absolutely exceptional, and she's worked so hard. And I had a lot of people there that were there for her, but also people that came there for me because they knew this was a big thing for me as well to to elevate her, and already she's kicking my ass. Like, so when are we going to organize and become official religious organization? It's like, oh, what have I done?
You're like, I have created a monster.
I know. I said, I elevated her because she's very serious about this, and now she's making me make sure that I don't slack off. And so I'm like, oh, okay, here we go.
You're like, I didn't think this through before I did this.
Oh, I'm sure I did. Past me thought future me would be like totally ready, and then future me is like, I'm tired. Well, I mean, I'm working on, as I announced last episode, that I have another book that's coming out in 2021. So I've been spending a lot of time with Hakate and letting, it's when I write these books, I really let these gods into my life. You know, that's something I've talked about before. And so it's interesting how she has navigated things for me. And what I, one thing I say about Hakate is she opens up the closets and shakes all your ghosts out. So you have to face things from your past. And something Kanani and I were talking about just this morning in the car is my need to draw boundaries with people about my emotions. Kanani's like, yeah, it's time for you to work on that. I went, okay, Hakate, I heard you. Why did you have to come through Kanani? That's the most annoying person you could send your message through.
Seriously.
I mean, at least make it Hillary, if not. But
yeah, because she'll be kind
about
it.
She'll be nice about it.
Kanani's just going to be a bitch about it.
I love that you guys think I'm nice.
Well, I don't think you're nice, but you tend to be more tactful than her.
Comparatively. I am very tactful.
Compared to me, you're a saint. See, that's
what it is. I'll tell you everything you don't want to hear, but I'll wrap it in this pretty package with a bow so you walk away and you're like,
well, that's
just happened.
Hillary has worked with groups of people for many years while Kanani's been living in a hole.
And so that's right. I don't like, again, Kanani does not play well with others.
But the summer's also been extraordinary. I took my niece and nephew camping. And
that's so fun.
A couple weeks ago, we had the Pleiades meteor shower. And so I was out in Central Oregon with them.
Amazing.
And, the next morning, I told my nephew, I saw a shooting star last night. And he looked at me and he said, did it fly over our house? And I said, yes, it did. Did it bring you sweet dreams? And he nods. And he says, if you see one tonight, will you tell me? And I said, absolutely. So I sat my ass outside till I could see another one. And I saw two. And I came back inside the next morning when he was awake and said, you know, I saw two of them last night, one for you and one for your sister. There's so many different kinds of magic in this world. And so I think that one of the things that my family and I were talking about was that it doesn't matter how much you learn about the way the universe works, there's still a sense of wonder in it, which is also something about Hakate, because she is the goddess of the cosmos, as well as we think of her as the underworld goddess, but the Greeks also saw her as a goddess of the cosmos. And so I think that's one of the things that lessons that she reminded me is that it doesn't matter how much you learn about something, it doesn't take the mystery away.
Totally. Can I brag about nephews for a minute?
Yeah, totally.
So my nephew, who is 8, he's just about to turn 8. He is doing a fundraising lemonade stand for an organization called Kind, which helps children that are going through immigration hearings to have legal representation and support. And so, and he did it before for Racies. And so he's like, he was like, I want to do another one. And they raised a couple hundred dollars the last time.
That's so cool.
And so, yeah, they posted about it today and he was like, and he's very excited about it. And I was like, you are just the cutest. Like, I'm so proud of you. Like, he's like, no, I don't need this money, but there are kids that need this money. And I was like, oh my God, you're so cute. I wish I was that like thoughtful when I was that age. I was like, where's candy? Give me things. I mean, I was
you
thoughtful.
You were super
too.
Thoughtful. I was thoughtful. I remember you being that way thoughtful. In high school, but we didn't have the resources to do anything like that.
No.
You know, I mean, we didn't.
We didn't even know to do it. I mean, yeah. Like, And we didn't know, like, we didn't have, I think, the accessibility or knowledge of organizations. Like, there weren't, you know, I just didn't know. I mean, we would fundraise if we knew there was, like, someone that needed something.
Right.
But he's very aware. I mean, they also just have a lot of conversations in the house. So, yeah, super cute.
Yeah, we've had an amazing summer. The summer went by way, way, way too fast. I'm already having to get the kids ready for school supply shopping. And I'm flashing back to already talking about the kids being in soccer before, and now they're in soccer again.
Soccer mom, Morticia!
I guess this time it's fall, so. But we went camping a ton of times. My kids do BPSA scouting, which I think is amazing because it goes by ages of the children. It's completely gender inclusive. It's completely inclusive. And we did some scouting stuff, we did camping, we did some outdoor stuff. And I don't know what is
I don't know what is in the air, but, and my son does do karate, but he has suddenly become obsessed with meditation and yoga.
I sent you guys that picture
of, and my mom was telling me this, that because they spent 3 days at their grandparents' house out at the beach, and my mom was talking about how every day he would go outside and he would say he was meditating. I'm like, who is this kid? What are you talking about?
And I'm sitting
on the couch, and he comes over to me and he goes, "Mom, I'm just gonna go out on the patio and meditate for a while." And I'm like, "Okay."
You're like,
and he goes out on the patio and he sat for a solid 10 minutes.
That picture was so cute. Yeah.
And he just sat there quietly, you know, sitting, you know, crisscross applesauce with his hands up, and he just sat there for 10 minutes and meditated, and he came back in and he's like,
"Amazing.
That was fun." And I'm just like, oh my gosh. So they actually do have books that I've purchased them in the past about meditation and breathing techniques and being, you know, kind and empathetic and so different kinds of books. And so we're starting to kind of re-go through those books because I feel like now they get it and they like it. And so we're starting to kind of re-go through the books, and now I'm going to start doing yoga.
I'm sorry to cut you off. But our guest is about to come on, and we just realized we have not brought up the most important thing that happened this summer. That Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, is now available on Netflix.
On Netflix.
That's amazing.
I was literally watching it when these two arrived.
And if we were almost, I think one of the reasons why we're not as organized as we would be is because we had to sit there
and watch Patrick Swayze
scold John Leguizamo in drag about being a drag princess.
Oh my God.
That is the best movie.
It is the best. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I think one of the reasons it's so good for witches, in many respects, one, certainly about affirming your gender identity, it's also good because I think of that moment when Patrick Swayze says to the other, or Miss BWM says to the other women, "I'm going back to see my mom," and I'm paraphrasing, and I'm going to say, "I am Miss BWM, and your approval is not required, but I will take your acceptance." And that's something it wasn't until I heard it again after having not seen this movie in 15, 20 years that stayed with me whenever I started to have a hard time being open about being a witch. People don't have to approve of it.
Yeah.
But I will take their acceptance. And I even take it further. They may not accept it, and that's still okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so.
I think that movie was like so groundbreaking
for the time, it still is so relevant.
And I mean, when I was watching it, cause again, it had been like, literal years, over a decade for sure, since I had watched it. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was very brave for them to do that movie, you know, like
for the director, for the actors, for the actors, for the drag was not okay.
Especially Patrick Swayze and Wesley Snipes, who were these very manly men.
Very masculine. Yeah. And they were playing like the kind of like...
Yeah, that's what I said. Manly men, masculine men. Yeah, thank you.
But like
hyper masculine.
And like they were very like... They were like the lead roles, the heartthrobs, the action movies, right? So it was... I remember thinking... Actually, when I was watching, I remember thinking like, wow, they chose such interesting men to play these roles.
100%.
They could have chosen men that were seen as effeminate, but they really chose like very masculine, kind of like burly men, and put them in, but they embodied it so well. Their movements, how they speak, their I was like, wow, this is pretty amazing. So it was so cool to rewatch it.
Yeah, there's one thing I never caught until the last time I watched it. I watched it 4 times in a row when it was released on Netflix. So I've seen it. So I will be watching it again.
I watched it like
during our lunch break today.
We'll
be watching it again. When the three of them are on the balcony overlooking the people below who are dancing, they're actually giving homage to the three fairies in Sleeping Beauty. If you notice, they're pink, green, and blue. And in that scene,
nice,
at the end of Sleeping Beauty, when the fairies are
overlooking
the ball, and they're like, oh, everything's okay. That's what they're doing. They're doing the same thing. So you look at it.
I'm excited to watch it.
Yes.
Rewatch it.
Yeah.
Because
well,
we know it's
going
to be at least
100
more times.
We're going to watch it during. Now, we're supposed to be having a marketing meeting after this, and I'm sure it's going to turn into a watch Tu Wong Fu movie.
Yes. Yes.
We'll be like, yeah, marketing. Yeah. Let's watch the movie.
That sounds right.
Sounds about right. Anything else anyone wants to add before we talk to our amazing guest today?
Give us an update on you.
Oh, yeah, me.
So yeah, what have I been doing? I am now a few months into a new job, which I'm really loving.
And you did magic for that job,
I too, did do you? Some magic for that job. I had been looking and really struggled to find a fit that I liked or an offer that I liked, you know, and I was starting to go, oh my gosh, like I'm really starting to worry about not finding a place that I'm happy with. And yeah, I did some magic around it. And then sure enough, I like go in and I had one phone interview with them and I was like, ooh, this, I like this. And so I kind of did some magic around being open to accepting the right fit for me. Because I think when I was first looking, I was really like hyper-focused on certain things. And I was like, I did some spell work specifically around being open and available for whatever role I'm supposed to be in, rather than telling them the role you're supposed to be in. I want a job doing this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's such a fine balance.
It's a fine balance.
Being specific and also being flexible.
Right.
Yes. What can you tell us what specifically you did spell wise?
So, yeah. So I mean, it involved some candle work and then I had some written requests and I stated specifically rather than the specifics of what tasks I was doing, really around what I wanted to feel in the job, how I wanted to be supported in that role and the type of work I wanted to do on a like emotional level rather than, well, I want to be in a position where I am working with this specific, it was more, I'm open and willing to accept a job that is in, that will allow me to grow. So the things that were, that I specifically put in there was the ability to grow in a position. So I'm not stuck somewhere where I don't have growth opportunity.
Right.
That values me financially and personally, that allows me creative flexibility and sees me as a contributor to the overall function and creativity or creative process. And I can't remember what the other two or three things were, but I won't go into exactly what I did, but it was a combination of candle work. And I also did, I first did some cleansing work on me because I felt like I was hanging on to a lot of frustrations from previous work experiences. So I kind of, that was where I started. And then I went into asking and to bring in rather. So first I was letting go and then I was bringing in. So,
well done, Rhea.
Yeah.
Well done.
And I'm really happy there. So
that's awesome.
So we would like to welcome our guest, Najah Lightfoot, today. We spoke a little bit earlier about her and her amazing book, Good Juju Mojos.
Now we know how to pronounce her name.
Yeah.
Yes!
Now that we're pronouncing it correctly.
Yay!
Good Juju Mojos, Rites and Practices for the Magical Soul, which I read and was amazing. So I'll give you a little bit of her bio. Najah Lightfoot is an initiated member of the La Source Ancienne Enfo, a private voodoo society in New Orleans, Louisiana, a sister priestess of the Divine Feminine and an active member of the Denver Pagan community. She keeps her magic strong through the practice of Kung Fu, the folk magic of Hoodoo, pagan rituals, and her belief in the mysteries of the universe. She finds inspiration in movies, music, and the blue skies of Colorado. Najah Lightfoot is also a regular contributing author to the Llewellyn Almanac series.
We're so
excited to have you on.
She had me at Kung Fu. That was all I needed to know.
This is like why witchcraft is so badass, because you've got a woman who is combining New Orleans voodoo with Kung Fu in Colorado.
Exactly.
Like, yes! This is why we have a podcast!
I know. One of my favorite parts of the book was hearing about your movement practices and how you integrate that in. I've never heard anyone talk about that before, and I thought that was really amazing.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you guys so much. It's just a pleasure to be here, and I'm really excited to be on your show. I think your show is wonderful. I've listened to it. And,
wow, nice somebody's listening to us.
We're so excited.
Yes, I have, and I appreciate that you pick up on movement as well for a magical person, because I do feel that it's very important for us as magical people to move our bodies as well as work with our minds and spirits.
For sure. So the first thing we always ask people, our guests on the podcast, is how did you know you were a witch, or how did you find magic? How did that come to you?
Oh, gosh, that's such a great question. So I was born in the 60s, and I was raised in Southern Cal in the 70s, which was a very magical place. And so I grew up listening to all that 70s strange magic music that, you know, has spells, talks about spells and magic. And Southern Cal in the 70s was a wonderful place. And I also spent many a summer as a child at Disneyland. And so just by my nature, I've always been attuned to what I would say is the other. Like, I have a great, you know, empathy for things, and I feel things deeply. And so it was just a magical place for me. So I was always fascinated with witches and magic and nature. It just seemed it was a natural part of myself. So I just have always had a childlike sense of wonder of the universe and of nature. And I've always believed in the unseen and things that you can't see. So that's just always stayed with me my whole life. And then as I got to be older and really started seeking the path, I used to read tons of fiction. And then I really started to want to like connect with real witches. Like, are there real witches in the world? And when I started drumming, belonging to a drum circle years ago, I met my first, you know, woman who openly proclaimed that she was a witch. And I was just fascinated by her. I said, oh, wow, so this person's for real. And then thereafter, about in 2001, my darling husband and I happened to be visiting Salem. And we were in Salem, Massachusetts, where they do a reenactment of the trial for Bridget Bishop. And we're standing on a street corner, and all these people, she's coming down the street in her, you know, 1692 garb, and all these people are taunting her, and they're, you know, yelling at her, and it's supposed to happen that way. But then we actually did end up in the mock trial for her being persecuted as a witch. And that just really, really stuck in my gut. Like, oh my gosh. And I had really powerful dreams in Salem after seeing that and going to the cemetery. And so that's probably when I truly embraced the word witch as being a powerful expression of the divine feminine.
Can I just say that you already had me at Kung Fu, and then you start talking about Disneyland.
I know. I wish we had.
And then you start talking about drumming, and then you start talking about Salem, Mass. Courtney is looking at me. She's just like, oh, she's in love with her. I already loved you. Now I'm just like completely obsessed with you.
Check your bushes, because you might have Kanani sleeping in them.
You have just mentioned like all of my favorite things,
like,
and just talking about.
To come on the show.
Oh, my gosh. I was already like in a fangirl over her. Now I'm like, oh, what is she talking about?
Sometimes I do wish we had video. I'm glad we don't, because none of us actually get out of our pajamas before
recording
this.
Oh, no, yeah.
But if we did, you would see that Kanani is actually levitating.
I know.
She's
talking.
I'm like, I love her.
I was watching her face. I was like, this smile is going to break her face in a minute.
Like, so she said Disney, Kanani was like, what? Another wish is finding magic at Disney?
I know a ton of witches that go to Disney. We should have a witches retreat for Disney.
Yes!
We should get hundreds of us.
They should host us and pay for it, because we're giving them so much free press.
Yeah.
Courtney posted a picture of a shirt that I've already bought my husband, by the way. And it says, my favorite Disney villain is my wife. And I bought it for my husband. And he's like, of course you did.
You should get it for your husband too, Najat. Sounds like it would fit him.
I should. That's a great. I will. I'm going to look that up.
She's our best friends now. Right. See?
Oh, good. Someone else can take over from here.
So one of the many things, I mean, now I feel like everything in the book, I was like, oh my God, and this and this and this. One of the things that I love so much was how you built from, I mean, it was such an approachable book. So I love that if you had never, or if you were just dabbling for the first time. So it's something that we are really passionate about, is providing resources for people that are really trying to find their way into witchcraft. And I loved how the book built. So it was like, this is how you can start a magical practice. And the thing that was so cool about it is I love that you gave alternatives. Like, okay, if you can't get to an outdoor space, here is how you could do this. If you don't have this available, trust your instincts. Because we talk about this all the time, you know, like I feel like half the times when I do spell work, I'm like, I'm going to do it like this. And I'm like, oh shit, I forgot to get this
thing. I don't have a
red
candle.
Oh no, I don't have this thing. And when I started out, that would be like a fall apart for me. I'd go, oh no, you know. And so I loved that you really talked about how important you're using your intuition along with the tools that you have is, and how, you know, it's not necessary to break the bank to go to pick up every tool and thing to put on your altar.
Magic should not put you into poverty.
Right.
Magic is supposed to get you out
it's
of poverty.
It's supposed to get you out of poverty. Yeah, exactly. So if you, one of the things that I wanted to ask you is if you could give one, you know, or any amount of advice to someone who's new and looking to establish their practice, is there something that really you feel is a great place to start?
Oh, well, yeah, it's crazy that you asked that, because just today, I just posted on Instagram a picture of a can of Double Luck green beans that I keep on my windowsill. Oh my God. Bought it in the grocery store. It says Double Luck on it. It has this beautiful yellow label, which I equate with the sun. So I can align that with the sun. It is Sunday when we're talking. Green is the color of growth and prosperity. Green beans are good for you. And the can has a little horseshoe and a four-leaf clover on it. And I stuck it on my windowsill. And so I try to like, okay, so that was magic. That can of green beans probably cost us, I don't know what, 59 cents
or
something.
I would say, yeah, this is total dollar store magic.
Yeah.
Right. And so, like, that's a really magical thing for me, because I see it and I'm like wishing myself double luck every day with goodness and with magic. And so I put that post out today wishing everyone double luck on this day, you know, that you can find magical things anywhere.
Anywhere.
Sometimes, you know, we like the complicated, and, you know, I'm all about ritual too, but I really want to impress upon people, like, sometimes the most powerful magic is the simple thing that you connect with. And it's good to learn and get out there and do, you know, deep practices. But, you know, for the everyday good juju to keep yourself on track, you know, sometimes you just pass a can of green beans in the store and you're like, hey, I feel drawn to that. Or you just get tea lights. Like, not everyone can afford to buy 7-day candles, but you can buy tea lights anywhere, and maybe you just start lighting that little tea light on a regular basis, you know, when you see something or you feel something or you're trying to align with the day of the week or the seasons or the sun or the moon, you just light that little candle, and it's that connection. What I'm really trying to impress upon people with my book is to make that connection and make it a practice, because it's a practice that you get power, strength, and confidence from.
I've been following your Instagram, and one of the things I admire about it is...
Then why don't you tell me about the green beans? Come on.
Because I didn't see that this morning, because I was picking your ass up. That's why.
Right. That sounds right.
Excuse our language, Najah, but she's over here.
No, you're fine.
Maybe
you're
if you
fine.
Just actually...
I'm angry that my best friend finds green beans to be magic, and my other best friend didn't tell me.
Well, so. I actually didn't see it yet. She said she just put it up. Meanwhile, as I was saying, that your altars are, your especially your prosperity altars, are really, really beautiful. And they are, you can tell that the materials are things that are very easy to come by. But you also have a very special talent for making things beautiful. And I think that that's also something I would like to be better at is because I tend to be just super uber utilitarian, and I'm a very much of a word person, but I forget about the visual aspect. But witchcraft is one, a craft, but it's also a kind of creative expression. And I feel like people that follow your Instagram can get some really good inspiration on how to make your dollar store altars really beautiful. You know, you don't have to buy expensive stuff to make it a visually appealing thing.
And I like that when you talked about how you just came across a can of beans in the grocery store, that it's not that the beans were magic, it's that they have symbols on it.
A can of magic beans.
That, you know, remind you of luck and remind you of magic. And so when you see it, you connect with that. So it's not that you bought a quote-unquote magical item, but once you have that connection with it, now every time you see it, you think of luck, which puts luck out into the, you know, puts luck energy out there. And I just, I love how you explain that. So it's not like someone needs to go to a special store and buy a, you know, green candle that someone's infused with luck that's $15. Like, no, if you look at it and it makes you feel lucky or it reminds you of being lucky, that works.
That's right. That's it. That's such a great explanation. That's magic. It's with us all the time. It's everywhere. It's all around us every single day. There's magical things that cross your path, or you come across in a grocery store, or you get a connection watching a movie, or you take a walk, or you have a conversation and you get that connection inside yourself. You're like, oh my gosh, that's magic. It's really working. That's wonderful. I really like your explanation of it.
Yeah, I loved in your book, you talked about one of the ways to develop your intuition was driving a car and just allowing yourself to go wherever it takes you. Like wherever, it's like, if you would normally turn right, you're like, today I feel like I should turn left, and to just go with that. My mom was like that. She would be like, I just felt like I should turn here. And she'd end up, one day she was on a trip, she was like driving through the countryside, and she ended up at like some Buddhist retreat center.
Oh my God.
And she was like, I just kept going, I should turn right here. And her friend was like, what the hell are you doing? And she's like, I just feel like I should turn here. And she ended up then staying there, like meeting some of the people that were at that center and staying there and learning. So I when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, that reminds me so much of my mom. And I try and do that too. Sometimes I'll go, why the hell did I just turn left here? My house is the opposite direction. And I'm like, meh, I'm going to go with it.
See, I'd be the friend going, what the hell are you doing?
Well, see, I'm just going to take that as that's why I took 4 wrong turns getting to Hillary's house today. And I wasn't listening to the GPS. It was that I was following my intuition.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. And you never
well, yelling at me that you didn't understand the GPS.
When you turn left instead of right.
Thank you, Najab. Thank you very much. Never know what I might find. This is solving a lot of quarrels amongst us. I'm curious it seems like such a cliche question, but as a writer myself, I'm always curious to hear about the journey from inception to book. So when and how did Spirit motivate you to write this book? Because it's clearly divinely inspired.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I will share with you, one, I'm a journaler. I have journaled my entire life. If I can't write in a journal, I would be writing on walls, paper. I believe I was a scribe in a past life. I have to write. So I usually journal actually first before I write, because that helps to clear my mind for when I'm writing articles and when I was working on my book. And then years and years ago, there's a community school here in Denver, and I started teaching there. I started teaching a class called Spiritual Tools for Daily Living. I just wanted to share what I had found to be helpful, and I thought other people might be interested in it who were seekers on the path. And so I taught that class for a while, and then I just did some excursions with women on some trips to the mountains. And then I fell in love with Llewellyn. And Llewellyn was also always a go-to place for me when I was seeking knowledge about the occult or the craft or practical magic. And I had this, you know, little dream inside myself that, gosh, it would be really great if I someday could write for Llewellyn, and then I could give back to this wonderful publishing company and to other people who helped me on the path of seeking. And so I got my first write for hire contract on my birthday in 2013.
Oh, that's so great.
That's amazing.
I did. And I started writing articles for Llewellyn, and my first article was on prosperity magic. And I've been writing for the Almanac series ever since. And then they published my first book. So that's how I ended up writing that way.
Yeah, I can attest. So for those of you who aren't familiar with Llewellyn's Almanac series, I highly recommend it, because there's a lot of very useful articles that they include with very practical magic work, just like the type that Najah's talking about. So that's something that for people to add to your magical repertoire, it's a really great thing to get or give around Yule as well, because they tend to come out just before the first of the calendar year, right?
Yes, they do. And another thing is, like, I just signed my contract for the 2021 spell a day. And that's fascinating to me because we write a year in advance for the calendars and date books and almanac. And so that's really magical all on its own, that you have to get into this space to write for a year and a time that, you know, on the calendar hasn't even arrived yet.
And that must be really
Our audience may not be able to hear this, but I can actually hear Kanani's credit card debt going up as we speak.
Thank you.
I can feel my husband sweating at home on the couch and not knowing why.
Yes,
like, why am I very itchy and uncomfortable right now? I don't understand.
All of a sudden, the Amazon arrival. But honey, we need these things.
There might be a reason he doesn't have the Amazon password. I'm just saying. Wives need certain things to themselves.
There you go. That's right.
Oh my goodness. So the other question, well, the other thing I wanted to ask you, so I loved reading about altars. Courtney brought this up with the Instagram page as well, but can you talk to me a little bit about tips and tricks for people establishing their personal altar, like their first altar?
Right. So, you know, I truly believe you have to be practical and you have to do things that make you feel comfortable. And when you're creating an altar, it should be a place where you can go to where you won't get any outside bad vibes. Like if someone sees it, or, you know, you can't put it up there, or you put it up in your house, but maybe, you know, your house members aren't into that, your family's not into that. So an altar can be, you know, as small as a stone or a crystal you carry in your pocket. You go for a walk, you put it up on a park bench or whatever, and you have that moment, that sacred space with it where you're safe and you can connect with your divine higher power. But if you are blessed, like in my home, I mean, I have altars everywhere. My family is just really wonderful and supports me always. So, you know, I use tops of bookcases as a shelf, or, you know, a table set in a corner, or a little area in my backyard, or and just get a cloth and put down things that make you feel magical and connect you to your higher power, whatever however that expresses for you. And it should be some place where you can go to over time, and that you can do work there. You can say your prayers there, or you can do magic there, and that you just keep adding to it as you go along your path. And most importantly, you know, is people like to have a nice cloth. I think finding a nice cloth for your altar is important. Some candles, you know, and I'm so practical. Like, I use battery operated candles, you know, because sometimes you can't light a candle. I have a travel altar I take with me. So I just take a little battery operated candle and turn it on when I get in my hotel room and put a crystal there.
I use battery-operated candles for my children's altar.
Mm-hmm.
My children each have their own little altar. And I was thinking about that because I was like, well, I'd like to have a light, but I'm like, I'm not going to, you know, have them using matches or lighters.
Indeed.
And so they have exactly that. They have battery-operated candles. So they can still have that candle and flame, you know, feeling and energy without actually having to light something.
And if you're like me and I'm bad about lighting candles and forget that you've lit them, it remarkably saves your house from burning down if you have battery operated
candles.
Also
helpful.
Yes.
Right. Nothing else, you know, nothing ruins your spell work like worrying that it's going to burn down.
Exactly.
And I also, when I first started out, I just had one altar space that I used for everything. That was my altar, no matter what kind of work or prayers or spell work I was doing. I just used that one space. But I have found that as you go along on this path, you soon like to kind of separate your altars. So I have different altars for different, you know, works, different conditions, prosperity, love, you know, place for me, place for my family. Mm-hmm.
And I like how you talked about how you know, you want it to be somewhere where it's not, actually made me feel good that you said that, where it's not like picking up, you know, bad juju or negative energy from other people who don't necessarily, you know, partake of that kind of thing. And because the thing is, for my children, both of them have little little dressers in their closet and their altar is in their closet. That way, when their friends come over, it's not like out and about where kids will be picking things up going, what's this? What's this? Why do you have this? And they have to answer a bunch of questions. And it becomes, well, and it's confusing. And then they have to explain it to their friends. And then maybe their friends don't understand. It's in their closet. It's their own safe, private space. And they love it. And they don't have to worry about people touching it or messing with
it. And I've been to your house a bunch of times when you let me in. And there's a sense of walking.
It happens on occasion.
When you let me in.
When you let me in. That just even opening that closet door, it's like walking into a sanctuary.
Yeah.
There's a sense of
it's their little space.
Yeah, it's energy. There's a threshold. They're crossing the threshold. Yeah. Opening that closet door. It's not a deep closet. It's not a walk-in closet. No. Just a slide door. But there's still that sense of
this now is a special place.
Now we're in a sacred space.
I think it's nice. Go ahead.
That's really great because I'm just picking up on what you said. So for your kids and for the practitioner, okay, so you have this space, to use your words, you said, you know, you're crossing this threshold. So as you begin to work with that sacred space and that threshold, if you're not there, or, you know, like, I will just say, like, if I've had to I've had surgery, I can cross that threshold in my mind. Yeah. I can open that door and go into that space. And so what you're really doing, too, is you're building up that visual, magical imagery in your mind. So your kids will be able to be anywhere and they can just open the door to that threshold.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And see so that good. Altar and they're right there and they can call up their magic however they feel they need to use it.
I'm going to talk to them about that. I love that visual and teaching them that concept of even if you're not there, just picture yourself opening the door and there it is.
I think it's such a good point. I had a conversation with someone not that long ago where they were like, you know, I really feel connected to the ocean, but I can't physically get there because of where they're located. And I was like, can you place yourself there? Can you visualize yourself being sitting on a beach next to the ocean, the spot that's special to you? Because, you know, it's not always feasible. This person lives in the middle of America. So there's like and they don't have a ton of money. So it's like, you know, going to be able to get to their sacred spot is difficult. And I think that it is a really good point. I think yes, you have these physical locations, but I feel like I often draw power from locations that I have been to or that I have established magic at or I have felt magic at and being able to bring that in even when I'm not physically there.
And it's funny because thinking about Najah and coming from Colorado and thinking about your friend wanting to connect with the ocean, one thing to remember is that almost every, especially here in the United States, some of the areas that we now consider desert were at one time under the ocean.
Right.
So there's it's also ask yourself, is there a place near me that was once under the ocean? Because the rocks will remember. We remember. I mean, I was listening to this fascinating story about the Grand Canyon, and they said it had been under the ocean several times. So there's a lot of areas in the Southwest, which we now is desert, so we don't necessarily associate it with ocean, where perhaps people could go and say, when you were part, remember land when you were part of the ocean. I want to be part of that now. So that's another way. And I'm curious also about, when you said that the blue Colorado sky is one of your influences. So tell us about how you work with the land in your magic, if you would.
Well, one thing that's really great about Denver is, you know, the city of Denver is at 5,280 feet. So we're a mile high. So we have a relationship with the sky and the stars and the sun and the moon that most other people don't, because we are a mile high above sea level. So the blue of the sky is just amazing. And the clouds are so white and fluffy. And when you get up to the mountains and you get away from, you know, false light, as we call it, we were just up in the mountains a couple weeks ago and just billions of stars at 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't even sleep because I was outside,
so cool.
Just, you know, getting a crick in my neck. Looking at the universe, because I'm like, see, this is what I need. I need to keep having these reminders. There is more to the world than what we can see, especially when we live in cities. And so I work with the land, since I'm a city person, every day by going outside in my backyard and doing a morning ritual where I call the directions, I pour water to my ancestors, those who've gone before me. I, you know, say prayers for all my family, friends, and loved ones. And I do that every day. And I look around and look at the sky. And at night, I look at the sky. Or I get up in the morning and I have coffee and I look at the trees and I talk to them and say good morning to them and just try to really keep that awe and wonder and, and gratitude for the planet. And I've been blessed to travel many places in the world, and our planet is just such a wonderful place. And so I just try to honor the land, whether it's my backyard or I'm traveling, every day. And that's a discipline. And that's, you know, that's also part of being a successful practitioner of magic, is having that discipline. You know, I could easily just sleep in every day and not get up and get outside or connect with the land in ritual prayer or ways like that. But I do it because I've learned that it helps me to have a better life.
All right. That's the kick in the pants that I need. You know, I mean, I don't have an excuse. My dog gets me up every morning between 4:45 and 5 in the morning, and I just need to go outside with him. And while he does his business, I will do my spiritual business.
It's true.
I have no excuses.
It's true. When I was reading the book, I was like, it talks a lot about doing early morning, like being out there when not many people are out there and having that kind of stillness to connect with. And I was like, man, I'm the worst. I'll be in bed. I'll be like, okay, just 5 more minutes. I don't need breakfast. You know, it's like, so I was like, I need to be better at this, because I agree. I struggle. Once I've gotten up and the day whisks me away, I often have a hard time making time, right? And so I think that doing it at the very beginning of the day, so that is how you, and it shapes how you start your entire day. I was like, that is such a smart idea, because I tend to be like, okay, it's late at night. Now I'm tired. And then, or I'll be like, I guess I'll do this thing, but I'm not really like feeling energized, rather than starting it and starting the whole day off right. I really loved that. I thought that was such a useful
thing. Oh, well, thank you. It's not easy. And it's funny as hell, because I have a wonderful dog, and, you know, I don't know what it is, but, you know, whenever I get out there, she wants to take a crap. And so, why? I'm out here in this ritual space and I look over and there she goes.
There she goes.
You know, but I guess she feels relaxed.
Yeah, the energy was moving. It stimulated her.
Yeah, so I'm like, every day I have to work through that. Like, oh, I could just like throw my hand.
That's a fantastic analogy for life in general. Like, you're feeling great and here comes the crap. Like, that's life right there.
But also coming back, oh my God, we're going down the metaphor of dog crap as important magical lesson. But I actually had one. Speaking of getting ritual supplies, so I was at a thrift store in my town with my dog. It's run by the local animal shelter, so they allow pets. I'm trying to socialize this poor puppy. So I take him in there looking for some ritual supplies, looking for like an altar cloth, like you said, which I ended up finding for 25 cents. By the way, thrift stores are a great place to buy your ritual supplies. And all of a sudden, I look and my dog is taking a giant crap in the middle of the store. And
oh my God, I'm
mortified.
I would die.
But then I look up. He did it right by a bunch of fake grapes, which I needed for my Hecate altar. And they were 50 cents a piece. And Hecate is a patron, like one of her patron animals is the dog. And so
she's right. Like, you're not looking hard enough. I'm going to make you look.
And of course it was 3 women, because Hecate is in triplicate, came to help. And they're like, don't worry about it, honey. We're used to animal rescue, and they're cleaning it up for me. And I'm just like, okay. So sometimes through crap, we find what we need.
There you go. And you laugh. And you laugh at it. You go, all right, here I am. I'm like, all of my dog needs crap here. And this is what I really needed.
It is. It's that, like, that light. I mean, that was another thing that when you guys read this book, you'll love. She talks about just lightening up. So just, like, laughing and how to bring in like joy and laughter and light in, you know. And I love that. I mean, there's nothing more than I love than like a belly laugh where like your stomach hurts, you're laughing so hard.
Oh, that's one of the things, one of the early lessons I learned in witchcraft was one of the quickest, best ways to get negative or even evil spirits out of your home is to laugh. And so sometimes if I ended up with some really creepy energy in my home, I would put on a comedy album or comedy CD and make it so I could start laughing. This is when I lived alone and, you know, so I couldn't necessarily start making fun of a partner, which... Yeah.
Which now what you easy. Can do now.
No.
Or you, then you would just call me.
Call, can I?
Exactly. No. Oh, no, she did. She would just call me.
Yeah, except that it was probably like...
What did you do today?
It was probably like the middle. Yeah, it was probably...
Probably
like,
middle of the night, you know. Yeah.
That's one amazing. Of the things that was in the book that I would really love you to kind of go into more, because like Hillary mentioned, it's not something you hear about a lot, is using movement in your practice. Could you tell us more about that and what you do?
I will. As I wrote about in the book, I love used bookstores as well. Yes. And I find them to be, I mean, they're just one of my favorite places ever. And I found years ago this book called A Grimoire of Shadows, written by Ed Fitch. And I was, you know, the pages were all yellowed and I just brought it home and I was like, oh, I have this magical tome with me and this is going to be great. And as I was reading through it, he had written this paragraph about people who practice magical spirituality or witches or people who, you know, move in these circles in the world with organized religions, that it's good to learn self-defense. You should know, you should study the magical arts of martial arts because it helps you also in your spell work. It helps you learn to focus and ground and center. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. I'd never seen anybody write about martial arts that way. And so I had kind of tucked that in the back of my brain. And I had always wanted to study Tai Chi because I had heard that it was good for your breathing and respiratory. So I said, oh, maybe I should check that out. So I started studying Tai Chi at my school, and then I saw students with the belts on, and I'm like, so what's the belts about? And they're like, oh, well, that's the Kung Fu. That's the external art. You know, you have to study the external art of Kung Fu, which is punching and kicking and, you know, weapons. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm down for that. Yeah. And then,
amazing.
You know, at 49, I started doing this at 49.
Yes.
And
life goals.
So, yeah. And
oh, please, you're not going to do it. Can I?
Oh, no, because I'm not going to get off my
I'm
couch.
Sorry. Go
I'm
sorry.
I'm going to love it.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Najah. I'm just calling
That's
her out.
Okay.
On, I'm calling her out on the
line. So I found that the study of martial arts, which does require quite a discipline and training as a practice, also helped me when I would do spell work. Because I could go into a place and center and ground myself as I began to do spells. And I've also seen in my walk in this life with magical people that a lot of magical people tend to be quite heady. We love to read, we love to learn, but it's all in our head.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to do something to get up and move our bodies to connect to the earth. Like sometimes after ritual, people walk around barefoot or you eat something. And why do you do that? Because you have to ground and center and bring yourself back to the earth so you can go on with your life. So I try to encourage people, like along with your magical practice, do something that helps you stay rooted on the earth and move your body while you keep your head and your heart connected to spirit. Because it all works together.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's really true. I think that for me as well, like, I really love movement. I think for years I was like, I also tried Tai Chi. And it's not that I didn't like it. I like breath work. I'm a singer. So it's like, I found it really useful for that. But I really just like physical movement.
Yes.
I feel like, especially when I'm feeling like very stressed or if there's like a complex situation going on, or if I feel like the energy in this space is really like heavy or the energy around me is really heavy. It's like how I get all that energy out just by like moving and getting the body moving. It really helps a lot. So I was really excited to, and I, you know, when I was reading that, I was like, that's what I do. But it's I feel like this is my journey in witchcraft. I'm like, oh, I was kind of doing that thing. I just didn't know what I was doing.
No one named it.
Which is why I was so excited to read, like, oh, this is how movement works into practice. And I was like, oh my God, I love movement. It makes me feel so good.
Oh, it's true. It's incredible how many times what the New Agers call downloads, which that term just annoys me, but it's also pretty easy. It's a good descriptor. But when I'm walking my dog, or I'm just walking, especially if I'm walking fast, I start to have inspiration for spells, or if I'm leading a group ritual, I start seeing it. And especially it happened a lot when I was in New York City, because I was always trucking, because I didn't, you know, you don't have a car in New York. And I would get a lot of inspiration and during that movement. I think it's just so good for your body and brain. And when I used to run, I actually used to run before I busted my foot. I think I got a lot of really important spiritual messages then too.
Yeah. When I run, I actually like often if I'm trying to focus on something spiritually, I'll like, it's like my mantra. Like I'll repeat it as I'm running, or like, I'll have it ongoing in my head, but same, like when I get that energy out, like suddenly I like either when I finish or when I'm running, I'm like, oh, I didn't think about this before. Oh, I got this great idea. Or, oh, I felt like gets a lot of intuition comes through that way.
Well, I think.
I feel the same way. It does. It helps a lot.
And mental, I mean, when you think about it, like when people are anxious, they pace. Yeah. So it's like there's a direct correlation between, you know, your mental thoughts and situation and your physical body. So if you can learn to marry the two in a really productive way, I think that that's awesome.
Right, and exactly. It doesn't have to be, you know, always something really, physically strenuous for, you know, because people age, our bodies change, sometimes you have injuries, like you said, so, you know, connecting with the earth and moving through with your body can be, you know, maybe you just walk around your house for a little while, or you can go if you're a runner and you get that runner's high and the endorphins kick in and you feel that release. Or, you know, sometimes I get a lot of inspiration. I just like working in my garden.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's great for me. I don't have to, like...
It's like good like movement.
Get on this whole thing. I just like to get on my hands and knees and pull weeds.
Yes.
I get so inspiration from doing that.
Yeah,
100%. So before we close the episode, we want to make sure that we ask you, what do you have coming up? You know, is there anything exciting? Are there any books that you're publishing? Are there any events that you're speaking at coming up?
Well, I'm very excited that in September, on September 28th, I will be in Portland.
Yay!
And I'm just so thankful and really happy. Really appreciate Erica Fortner and the House of Twigs.
Yes, she's the best.
We love Erica.
We'll be there.
And I can't wait to come to Portland. We've been to Portland many times, and I'm really looking forward to coming to Portland to Queen Meb and seeing everyone and holding a class about creating good juju in your life. And that's coming up on my radar. So I'm very excited about that.
Amazing. I mean, I'll for sure be attending that.
Oh, yeah. So just watch out, because Kanani's going to climb in your suitcase and come home with you.
She
might come home with you. Be aware.
She's literally putting it on her calendar.
I'm checking my calendar. I'm like, there better not be any damn soccer game.
Are you canceling a wedding or a baptism to be there? Because it looks like that seems pretty important.
Everyone knows I wouldn't go to a baptism, so you know that that was not part of the problem. It will be on my calendar.
Yeah.
So,
I can't wait to meet you guys in person.
Yeah, we're so exciting.
Hillary.
We are very exciting, but we're also excited. So when we, at the end of each episode, we do a little ritual instead of, oh my God, why do I always mess up?
We always do it. It's as below, so above.
Yeah, instead of as above, so below, we do as below, so above, because we are letting go of something and then asking something to come in. So we each go around and we write it down and we crinkle it up and then we burn it, not in my garage, because that would burn the house down, but we burn it outside. So we say something that we are wanting to let go of, and then followed by something that we want to bring in. Courtney's hand motioning, doing a little.
I'm having a
moment.
Interpretive dance.
Movement. It's good. It's helping.
She's like, it goes in like this and out like this. I'm like, I know how it goes in and out. So if you want to start, we are also happy to start whatever you would prefer. But is there something that you feel like you want to let go of and something that you would like to bring in?
I'm going to let go of feelings about my woman's body at being almost 60. And I'm going to bring in just the joy of being able to be alive and upright and engaged with life on a daily basis.
I like that.
Those are both good.
That's really good.
That's like copy paste into my mind and soul as well. For me, I'm letting go of vacation mode since we're at the end of the summer, and I'm bringing in focus because I need to finish this GD book by January 1st. And that doesn't seem like, that seems like a lot of time, but when you're an author, as Najah knows, 3 months is not long to finish a manuscript.
No.
So I got to figure out a way to get 60,000 words out in the next 3 months. And so I'm bringing in focus and letting go of vacation brain because it's time.
So I am letting go of, what am I wanting to let go of this time? I actually have some transitioning happening at home. So I have a roommate that is moving out to get her own place, which I'm very excited for her. And then, so I'm letting go of that dynamic and bringing in a new, fresh dynamic
as
well.
And another dog.
And another dog. So my dog will have a friend.
Ripley and Riley. They need their own Instagram page.
They need their own Instagram. So I'm bringing in good energy and good energy for a new roommate and new living situation. So I think that'll be really good. And also wishing the old roommate well and hope that she has a good journey on her own as well.
I think I'm going to kind of copy Courtney's because I'm in a similar position where I've been in summer brain and now I have to switch to school brain and going back to routine. And the last 2.5 months have had absolutely no routine whatsoever. It has been every day a, what are we doing today? And it's something different. Yeah. And now I have to go back to the routine of school and sports and my daughter's doing dance, a different kind of dance again. And so I need to transition from break brain to getting crap done brain. And I really want to keep bringing in, we had a really good summer as a family. And I feel like that's because I let a lot of other projects go that weren't stealing my focus. And I really had a great summer. And I want to bring more of that in. I want to bring more of that feeling of family and fun and togetherness. And I don't want that, just because we're switching into routine, I don't want to lose that feeling. So yeah. I really want to bring in that feeling of family and having fun together.
Yeah. One quick announcement for us before we end is that if you are in the Portland area or really anywhere in the United States, it is worth getting on a plane to come to Portland for this. We are doing our first podcast in front of an audience on Sunday, September 15th at Columbia Willamette Valley Pagan Pride Day.
Columbia Willamette Pagan Pride.
Yeah, which is at Oaks Park, which is this really cool old amusement park where we have Pagan Pride. So
it's in old Portland and it is an absolutely beautiful park and a big open green space. We've had it there, I want to say for the last, I think I just had my daughter. So I want to say we've had it there like the last 8 years and
so
it's grown ever since. And it's beautiful and it's fun and everyone has a great time. And if you can make it out, I absolutely encourage you to do it because you can come check out the vendors. There's workshops. There's amazing, fun people and community to meet. There's the whole amusement park side, which is also super fun and cool. So if you can make it, absolutely put it on your calendar.
And we will be doing a
live podcast. Where you can ask us questions.
Yeah. Or tell us that we need to, I don't know, whatever.
Give us advice.
Give us advice.
Tell us what you'd like to hear about.
Yes,
you know, like 100%. Give us ideas for guests, you know, all of the things.
You can also always email us.
Yep, we do have that.
At thatwitchlife@gmail.com.
That's at gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, Najah, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure having you here. Thank you for sharing so much insight. And I love the book, and I'm sure Courtney's going to steal it immediately and read it. And then they'll have to fight it out to see who can read it
And
first.
I'm obsessed with
it's
you now.
It's going into her bag right now.
I have a copy
on my iPad.
Thank you guys so much. And thank you so much to all your listeners. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. It's been just a wonderful, delightful experience. And as always, I wish everyone always good juju.
Join us on the first and third Mondays of the month for magical tools, tips, and stories about living as a witch in today's world.
Find us at thatwitchlife.com for archived episodes or to ask your burning questions for us to answer in a future podcast.
So mote it be.